And we are on the record.
Thank you, Clerk Castle. Welcome, everyone. We'll call to order at just slightly before 1 p.m. when we're supposed to start, 12:59, but we'll call it to order for the Board of County Commissioners here on the 18th of February, 2026. If you're so inclined, please join me in the invocation and the pledge. Our Father and our Creator, we thank you for the reappearance of winter before winter is over. We thank you for your presence and your ability to provide patience and understanding for those views we may not see in alignment with. We thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon our workers and our families. We ask you to treasure those who are in need of your comfort and assistance. We continue to ask you for the blessings for those who travel on our busy highways. In your name we ask, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks everyone on Zoom and those in view in the room here. We have before you a proposed agenda. Are there any corrections or changes to that?
Mr. Chair, I believe that we have to remove one case has been, we'll just deal with it then when it comes up because it's already put on the agenda, that it's continued to April 21st.
Yeah, I think I had him filed.
All right, I move we accept the agenda as written.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, call the question. Those in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. Okay, first up is the approval of the minutes and the vouchers, our consent items.
I move we approve the consent items as written.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. Just a point of edification, as we had mentioned as we go along, January we didn't pay bills purposely, but we're making up for it. So this week is $614,000, nice round government numbers.
Plus the insurance payments.
Plus the one on the back side.
That's 1.1.
Yeah, that's the big
one. That was the big one.
That's only when you see the front page, and you see the other page of 1.151. So we've made up for it. We're certainly making up for that. So any further discussion?
The Gozada is going out as quick as the Gozinta.
It's faster, actually. That's why we have to have reserves in order to be able to operate before the Gozinta comes in.
Yes, sir.
The June Gozinta.
Actually, we start with first.
It starts now, February.
April is a good one, and then June 15th.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, call the question. Those in favor, vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. Okay, we have in for consideration decision the following items. Number one, to set a public hearing date to consider the proposed service plan for the Platte Canyon Health Service District. With that, I will turn that over to Lucas Meyer, our county manager.
Thank you, Chairman. We received a notice from the proposed health service district plan from the Platte Canyon Health Service District Committee. This is proposed to be set for a special meeting on March 16th at noon on that day in this building to be heard before the BOCC.
Okay, so really the item here was through the calendar of the application by this committee, we have a particular calendar deadline we have to meet. And so to meet that calendar deadline, it will require a special meeting on Monday, March 16th at noon. Any discussion? We need to take action on this.
Is it because if we do it on our normal meeting day, we've missed the deadlines?
There's a 20-day
wild
card in this from the time we there's a calendar, and I don't remember it, so I don't want to state it. But there's a clock that begins when they submit it until we set the date. And from the date, there's a particular length of time that we can't exceed. So in order to make the calendar work, it has to be on Monday the 16th.
Okay. It's just I'll just make a comment. It's not optimal because I like Mondays to prep for our meetings on Tuesday because normally we have a lot of documents and contracts to review, and I like to be able to do it, having it fresh in my mind the day before the meeting. But if we must, we must.
Well, I think that's what makes the calendar go round.
We may must. I am looking at my calendar right now. I think that is going to have to be what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. I move that we set the hearing date of March 16th as a special meeting to consider the proposed service plan for the Platte Canyon Health Service District.
And if I may add, at noon.
At noon.
Okay. Proper motion. Is there any, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? It'll be a singular topic, basically. It'll be that particular public hearing and public comment and process. Then we will get to meet again on Tuesday, perhaps, Commissioner Mitchell.
Or we can just have all of our meetings on
we'll see.
Monday. We'll to be determined. Who knows what our work is, right?
All right. Let's call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. We have a hearing date set. First thing up, we have on our public hearings, item 1, moratorium extension proposal. So with that, I need to do some magic language because we are in the process of the, again, the calendar of time and notice for an extension of the moratorium that this board has placed on temporarily water projects in Park County. The Board of County Commissioners will now conduct a hearing to consider extending a temporary moratorium on processing applications for domestic water and wastewater treatment systems and municipal or industrial water projects located wholly or partially within unincorporated Park County, Colorado. The procedure to be followed in this hearing will be as follows. First, County Special Counsel Tori Jarvis will make a brief initial presentation. Second, the board will take public comment regarding the moratorium. Third, I will then ask for a motion to close public comment. Fourth, the board will ask questions and deliberate on the matter. The board asks that you ask the public commenters not to submit redundant, irrelevant, or cumulative evidence. If someone has already made the point you wish to make, simply say so. All comments should be directed to the board. Please note that the proposed moratorium applies throughout the county. I ask that all the comments be aimed at the countywide moratorium extension proposal and not, I say not, to any specific current or future projects in Park County. At the conclusion of the hearing, the board may vote on whether to extend the moratorium or by resolution. Are there any questions or concerns? Is Tori on the line here?
Tori, I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Welcome, Tori.
Yes. Hi, commissioners. I am online. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. You have the floor, ma'am.
Okay, great. I my video is disabled, and I think that's fine not to see me on the big screen. So that's great. All right. Well, thanks, commissioners. We are following up today on a moratorium that you all passed. This information is all in the resolution, but I don't have it in front of me because I have the Zoom screen. But in May of last year, you all adopted a 9-month moratorium. And we are recommending today that you extend that moratorium. The moratorium ends by your 2025 resolution. The moratorium ends on February 21st of this year, unless you choose to extend it by resolution. We're recommending that you extend the moratorium until April 30th. A couple of more salient facts for you all and for the public. So what does the moratorium cover? A moratorium is a temporary pause on processing development applications for particular types of projects. In this case, the projects are water projects. That's the shorthand. The longer definition, which is in the 2020 5 resolution. Water projects include domestic water and wastewater treatment systems. That includes wastewater treatment plants, water supply systems, and water treatment plants. So there would be a moratorium on processing those kind of applications. That moratorium has been in place, the proposals to extend it. And then also on municipal or industrial water projects, which are any systems that provide or may provide water supply either directly or by exchange for municipal or industrial uses. And that includes all components thereof. So that's what the moratorium covers. In your 2025 resolution, and we do not recommend changing this, we recommend maintaining this, you have 2 exemptions. So the county may continue to process applications if the projects are subject to your existing subdivision and plan unit development regulations. So if there's a water project that's associated with a larger project that would fall under your existing subdivision and PUD regulations, that portion of the project may be processed under your existing regulations. And then you also have an exception, so that means that, or an exemption, sorry, but that means that, you know, processing applications may continue because they're exempt from the moratorium for single-family residential development proposed to be served by wells and on-site wastewater treatment systems or septic systems. So that type of development is not subject to this moratorium, and it can move forward as it would normally under your land use code. So that's what the moratorium covers. Why are we recommending to you all to extend that moratorium? In 9 months, we estimated that we would be able to draft essentially a whole new standalone set of 1041 regulations related to water projects. Your regulations had not been your regulations had not been revised since they were drafted in the late 90s, 1997. And so the easiest, clearest way for you all, for the public, for staff, for potential applicants to follow changes, we didn't do them in red lines. We started basically from scratch, relying on your existing ones, but you have a new standalone set of regulations so that it's just not a chaos of red line. But anyway, we have been working on those over the past month, and we got really close to our deadline. The drafts of the regulations are publicly available now, as I'm sure you all know, but some folks in the public may not know that. They're posted on the county website. The county has scheduled a public hearing for you all to consider adopting those regulations. That public hearing is scheduled for March 17th. You also have a work session scheduled for March 3rd to more informally, you know, ask questions, ask for revisions, and hear from the public. Another opportunity for public comment on the regulations before the hearing scheduled for March 17th. And the county is also accepting written comments now. And we anticipate that our firm will digest those comments and turn around a second draft with recommended revisions from the work session and from the and any written comments that we receive that it makes sense to add revisions in the meantime. So we've got a very well hammered out schedule. We just didn't quite make it within the timeline of the moratorium. And the goal of the moratorium was to have a pause on the county processing applications until you could adopt those new regulations. So that's really key to make sure that you all have enough time with that moratorium to adopt the regulations. So the hearing scheduled for March 17th, we recommend about a 6-week buffer there. So that's why we recommend the moratorium goes until April 30th. That's in case you all needed to continue that hearing. If you needed more time to consider those regulations, you may it may take a couple of weeks to get those regulations adopted. And then we also wanted to give county staff a few weeks to be ready to implement those regulations and accept regulation or accept applications and just have all of our systems in place so we're ready to accept applications. So that's why we're aiming for that April 30th date. We've been working with county staff to get these timelines hammered out and feel pretty confident that that's a date that everyone can work with without having to come back to you all again. So that's it, but let me know if you have any questions for me on that.
Thank you, Tori. Any questions of Tori from the board?
No questions.
I just have one question, I believe you stated this, but I just want to make sure that it is known that we could also, if this were to go into effect for that moratorium, pushing that farther, we could remove it earlier than April 30th if need be. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Thank you, Commissioner. That's a good clarification.
Yeah, I think if I may just jump in here a little bit. Basically, we're giving ourselves ample time within the constraints of what we've already experienced. Looking back in hindsight, I thought that the 9 months was a little, was pushing it pretty hard. It was pretty expedited calendar. So a year, really, because we did this in May, and that's looking almost at a year. I think that's a reasonable time frame in total, and April 30th gives it that opportunity, or before, or later if we need it. But at least it sets it out enough time that we're not looking at another deadline in the near future. Okay, Tori, so at this point, we should go into the public hearing side?
Yes, please.
Okay. Just for the public's edification, we are going to accept public testimony at the podium. If you're in the room and would like to make comment, we simply ask you come up, and there's a sign-in sheet, and the sign-in sheet really is so our clerk can keep track of who appears in front of us. It doesn't capture what you say. That's on the recording. But she does have to keep a record of all those people who appear before us, and that's the purpose of that, is so that if she may catch your name or not catch your name, she has it written down so that she can put it correctly in the record. For those of you on Zoom, we ask you as a courtesy to give us your name on your little tagline on the Zoom box, and we will start off. I'm just looking to see how many. We have 29 participants at this point in time. So is there anyone in the room who would like to come speak about the temporary moratorium in front of us right now? If not, let's move to Zoom. If you would like to speak about it, please raise your hand. While we're waiting for that, and just know that we had... I forget, was it Monday a week ago? We had an original public hearing with Tori here, and we went through it in the draft, which I held up when she was talking. We have this available on the website and different places, and it is certainly the first draft of the proposal, and the extra time will take some of the feedback we got, and then I believe you were at a meeting, Commissioner Gimmer, Friday?
That is correct. I was at the meeting on Friday, same presentation roundtable talk for the 1041s.
So we've had those two public hearings already, and we've had public comment to that in those two instances, and that's what this one was for.
I move we close public comment.
Who else?
That's Tori.
Okay. That's proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. Any further discussion?
I think Tori wanted to make a comment.
Tori, please.
Yes, Commissioner, I just wanted to clarify that those were not public hearings. They were community meetings, and
thank
so
you.
They didn't have the same, you know, kind of notice and process as a public hearing.
That's
I appreciate that
clarification, because we were simply trying to put it out there and get feedback from people. Not intending to circumvent any public hearing process.
I appreciate that, Tori. As I believe I stated that it was a round table. I don't know if that's the proper format for that as well, but I believe that's...
It was fairly informal.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a good terminology, too. Yep.
Thank you for that clarification on that. So at this point, we have a motion on the floor to close public comment because we haven't had any as far as pure public comment. There will be other opportunities, I believe, as we move towards our date set forth. So with that, we will close public comment, call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Public comment is closed. What's the pleasure of the board?
It makes sense. I think we were a bit ambitious a year ago in last May to set this date, and we want to do it well and right since it is an update from 1997. So I think it's a good idea to extend this.
I don't disagree with that. I believe that it is obviously in the efforts, there's a lot of work behind, and we are getting really close. So I think it's very important for us to extend this for that short time.
So I move that we adopt the resolution number we will be given, which extends a temporary moratorium on processing applications for domestic water and wastewater treatment systems and municipal or industrial water projects located wholly or partially within unincorporated Park County, Colorado, as initiated in Resolution 2025-020 through April 30th, 2026.
Proper motion.
I'll second that.
Clerk Castle, if we were to adopt this, what would the resolution number be?
It'll be 2026-007.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, yeah, I can just say I was here for the original 1041s. Jeff Kahn from Lyons Gaddis wrote them when we had another local outside entity appear. And those regs have stayed fairly well and served us well up until now. But I think what we're looking at in this environment in this day and age is a different scenario than we could have ever imagined before. And it's simply through the 1041 process, just to clarify that a little bit, 1041 goes back to House Bill 1041 passed, I believe, in the 1972 session of the General Assembly. And what it put in place was, due to outside influences, not to the county's initiation that affect the county, 1041s initiated a process where the local governments could require a review and then go through the hearing process and ask for mitigation of those impacts to the locals through this process. So this is a long tried and true. It's been substantiated by the Supreme Court, and it really is the best tool for county governments and others in Colorado to look at external influences, whatever they may be, that would affect the locality without the locality initiating that. So an external effect. So that's the purpose of this, and the law firm we hired is the best in the state for dealing with 1041 regs and the process. So I'm very comfortable with legal counsel, special legal counsel in this room. Call the question? So those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. We will adopt that as Resolution 007. Okay.
Thanks, Commissioners.
Thank you, Tori.
Thank you, Tori.
Thank you.
Very much. Number two is on our agenda is Planning Commission Land Use Case, Minor Subdivision, Case A25-0110. This is a 10.32-acre property identified as parcel number 90981. Mineral survey number 8270A, Joe Dandy Mining Claim in Township 9, South Range 78, Section 6. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to staff. What we will do, just to set the record, using the similar process for our public hearing we just did shortly, very, very closely, is we're going to start off with this is a formal process of a land use application and change. Petitioning the government for change within our land use regulations. So the process that we will use in this hearing will be as follows. We will start off with staff making a presentation, setting the table, if you will, for the components of this application and the appurtenances and the details. We will then ask the applicant if they wish to make a presentation to the board, and we ask that you make your presentation to the board and not the applicant. At the end of that, we will ask anyone in support of the application to come up and speak either in the room or on Zoom. At the conclusion of anyone in support, we will ask for people in opposition to the application to step forward and speak either in the room or on Zoom. At the conclusion of that, if there are any objections, we will allow the applicant to make corresponding and rebuttal comments. We will then close public comment. We will then deliberate on the board and determine what the course of action will be. Are there any objections on the process or the arrangement of this hearing? Being none, I will turn it over to staff. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Shelley Yarbrough, Park County Planner. Today I'm going to present for the minor subdivision for Minewater Finance, LLC, case number A25-0110. Jeff Crane and Kate McCoy are on Zoom. Okay, the properties are identified as parcel numbers 90981. That's the mineral survey 8270A Joe Dandy mining claim. And parcel number 90982, the mineral survey 8270B London mining claim. And it's addressed as 6632 County Road 12 in Alma. The applicant is requesting a minor subdivision to subdivide the two parcels into three parcels. The subject properties are located to the west of Highway 9 near Alma, off County Road 12 at the base of Mosquito Pass. The site is the home of the North London Mill, and from 1892 to 1942, it processed one of Colorado's richest gold strikes. It was incorporated in 1972. The London Mill Preservation LLC, or NOLO, is a 501c3 registered nonprofit and has raised over $1 million in grant funding and private donations to rehabilitate the site. They have begun to stabilize and rehabilitate the 1883 Park County landmark. Their mission is to plan, finance, preserve, and manage all the historic buildings at the North London Mill site, rehabilitating them for outdoor recreation and education, arts and sciences, and to support historic preservation. The applicant is requesting to subdivide the Joe Dandy mining claim and the London mining claim into three parcels. The applicant will be selling the new parcel 8270B, Tract A, to the North London Mill Preservation Incorporated and donating Tract B of that to the U.S. Forest Service, and they will retain ownership of the new Tract A of the MS8270A tract. That's a lot of words, guys. Okay, this is a zoning map. It shows that it is zoned as mining. Vicinity map, you can see Alma there on the top right, and it's to the left. Conditions map, the site area is covered with wetlands and seasonal wetlands. Here's an aerial site of the photo, or an aerial photo of the site. This is the current configuration. As you can see, 827A is at the top there, and 827B is at the bottom. And this is the new proposed configuration. Notice was mailed to adjacent property owners on the 5th of January. It was published in the Flume on the 9th of January and was posted at the site on the 30th of December. Okay, the LUR standards of approval. Number A. The proposed subdivision conforms to all applicable requirements for the zone district in which the property is located, including but not limited to requirements for setbacks, height, floor, and lot areas, and minimum lot size. This minor subdivision conforms to all requirements of the mining zone district. There are no plans to develop on the parcels created by this subdivision. There are only plans for stabilization and restoration of the historic site. The proposed minor subdivision meets or satisfies all applicable requirements of these land use regulations. The subdivision does comply with all the requirements of the minor subdivision. As there are no development plans, a drainage, erosion, and sedimentation plan isn't necessary. The proposed minor subdivision substantially conforms to the goals and policies of the strategic master plan. This amendment does support the 2016 SMP Chapter 3 Mining Claims Subarea Strategy E, and that is to encourage high-altitude research and training and offer low-impact mountain science activities. And D, the proposed minor subdivision will not result in substantial adverse impacts upon adjacent property or the public health, safety, or welfare of Park County residents. This subdivision will create no additional impacts, and there is no current plans to further develop the properties. E, the proposed minor subdivision will obtain water and wastewater services. As this is a mining claim, there is no plans for development of the parcels. If the property were to be developed in the future, a conditional use permit would be required to build a residence in the mining zone district, and the CUP process will require water, wastewater, and driveway access plans before it would be approved. And where public improvements are proposed to serve the subdivision, there are no public improvements proposed at all. We did receive some referrals. Josh Voorhis with the U.S. Forest Service stated that the Forest Service has been working with the proponents regarding this subdivision and is fully aware of the project. We have begun initial work relating to surveys, inspections, and title research needed to accept a land donation. The Forest Service is in full support of this subdivision as it will help land ownership and simplify boundary lines. Additionally, as currently planned, the agency will accept ownership of one of the newly created parcels, which will help us manage wetlands and other values. The Advisory Board on the Environment had the following. Following review of the application, ABE believes additional information will be needed to effectively evaluate this application. Are old mine workings or other disturbances, including mine tailings, present on any of the properties? Old mine workings may be hazardous due to possible ground subsidence. Unstable mine audits and mine tailings may create a potential environmental concern, which we are unable to evaluate without additional information. Also, although issues with property lines may be outside of ABE's immediate purview, other issues were discussed as follows. There is a question about changing the acreage of mining claims because the land is patented from the federal government and may not be able to be changed. And if additional work is to be completed by NOLA, will any ground be disturbed? And they found no wildlife concerns. To address ABE's comments, the site wasn't a mining operation. It was a milling operation, according to NOLA, and the U.S. Forest Service is satisfied with the condition of the land. NOLA is working to further stabilize the mill site to prevent further disintegration of the site. They have done work on the stone foundation and stabilization of the most critical areas. We did reach out to the Bureau of Land Management regarding the mining claim and changing the acreage, and we did not hear back. Planning Commission reviewed this application at their January 28th, 2026 meeting and voted to recommend approval of the minor subdivision case unanimously with no conditions. Their executive summary is as follows. There were several questions from the Planning Commission on this case regarding the current building on the property and setbacks. Josh Voorhis presented relevant further information and answered many questions regarding the Forest Service accepting this donation of land. The motion was made to recommend approval with no additional conditions. 5-2-0. And that's it. Is there any questions for staff?
Any questions for Shelley?
I have no questions.
No, Shelley, good job framing this and answering all of the issues within the mining subdivision.
Yes, ma'am.
So is NOLO the representative? I see Mine Finance, Mine Water Finance was the applicant.
Yes, Mine Water Finance was the applicant, and they gave permission for NOLO to speak on their behalf.
Okay, so Kate or Jeff, if either one would like to speak, raise your hand.
I see Kate.
Well, but no hands, so.
Oh, I see Kate. Oh. Kate's hand is up.
Kate's hand's up.
Kate, I'll ask you to unmute.
Welcome, Kate.
Hi, folks. Thanks, commissioners, for considering this application. So we are, well, obviously, in support of this minor subdivision. We already have a conditional use permit on the area that includes the North London Mining Office and the other buildings on the land except for the mill. And we've been operating according to that CUP. What will happen here, the North London Mill, it straddles Forest Service land, so it's not all on private land. And this is going to simplify that boundary. And we've been working closely with Josh Ford. He's on this. And we will probably end up working under a permit with the Forest Service to continue stabilization efforts. There is no plan to have it be, you know, habitable or, you know, have water or anything like that. Mainly we would like to keep it from falling down, and it will be easier for us to do, believe it or not, if it's on the Forest Service. And then the other parcel there that is going to be retained by Mine Water Finance, I don't know what their plans are for it exactly. That's basically all I have to say. I don't know, Jeff, do you need to add to that? Are you able to do that? He's on a train right now, so I don't know what his situation is. If anyone has questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
I asked Jeff to unmute.
Yeah, I just unmuted. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're welcome, Jeff. We can hear you. You're unmuted.
Okay. Yep, I am on the train. I think Kate represented the situation well. I don't really have anything to add. We're looking forward to working with the Forest Service to continue to stabilize this Clark County landmark.
Thank you for that. If I could just inject a little bit of knowledge on this, I can tell just from the configuration of these that one's a patented claim and one's likely a mill site. So we're dealing with about, nice round numbers, 15 acres, and that's what the sum would be, because a patented claim is 10.33 and a mill site's in Park County. Doesn't mean it's the same case across the state, but in Park County, mill sites, especially in the Mosquito Range, are around 5 acres. So what this is really doing is it's compartmentalizing, if that's good English, these two existing mining claims for uses for both North London and Mine Water. So they're kind of joined at the hip right now, and this allows them, through the minor sub-process, to alleviate those existing parcel boundaries with new ones. And it allows Mine Water to do their thing with their side, and then North London to have control and access. Ownership is the main component of control, and allows them to go forward with their preservation and historic activities without being tied at the hip to Mine Water. And it just makes it cleaner for everybody down the road. That's my take.
I would say thank you, Commissioner Whistle. I think that's pretty accurate, and thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else you want to add? I think it's a pretty straightforward application. Thank you both, Kate and Jeff, for your comments. Shelley, anything else you want to add?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this point, are there anyone in the room or on Zoom who want to support this application? Are there anyone on the Zoom call or in the room Please raise your hand if you're on Zoom. If you're in the room, please come to the podium. Who wish to speak in favor of this application?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
John Evans has his hand up. I'm going to ask you to unmute Mr. Evans.
Legal counsel, welcome.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
I've not had a chance to review the documents involved, but the question I would have is, are there any provisions in the contracts with the Forest Service not to lease or property for mineral exploration? Gold prices today hit $5,000 an ounce. So I was a little, what I wanted to know is, are there any plans or issues, primarily it's a question as to whether or not the Forest Service could turn around and lease the property for gold exploration.
I don't have an answer to that. I don't know. Kate has her hand up, though.
All right. Kate, I'll ask you to unmute.
So this site is not a mining site. It is a mining claim because it has a mill and the supporting buildings of a milling site. Of course, we don't have the formal agreement with the Forest Service yet. We won't have it. It'll be part of the donation process between Mine Water and the Forest Service. But I imagine that could include some kind of language that there will not be gold prospecting on that property. That property is fill on wetlands, so it's not into the rock. It's not where the mining happens on London. But I hear your question, Council. It's a fair question.
Yeah, with an interesting question on that, because looking at the locale of this, it's unlikely, in my opinion, that the Forest Service would be using the Mining Act of 1872 for this little piece in a mining exploration, especially if it's in a wetland. We just happen to have Josh Voorhees, our district ranger for the South Platte Ranger District or South Park Ranger District, in the audience. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, sir. I believe the question was on mining and whether that would be permissible on the portion of land that the Forest Service would acquire. Okay. As we're aware, mining under the 1872, and it's been amended a few times, is available on all public domain lands western half of the U.S. However, since this portion of land was in private hands or is in private hands, it is no longer public domain. So if it's donated back to the Forest Service, it comes under the acquired status, and then mining is an optional thing for the federal government to allow, not a right of use. So on all lands, like, say, for Mount Democrat that were recently purchased, they are no longer considered public domain. Mining can occur on it if there's valuable material. Certainly that can occur, but it is not a right under 1872. So in this case, you're right. Small sliver of land, wetlands, not really viable mining. I don't see this being available for mining.
Thank you, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Any other questions, comments? Kate, did that answer what you thought?
She's
muted again. I think it's pretty straightforward. The likelihood, thank you, Council, is between low and slim, I would say. I would never say non-existent, but very, 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 very low. All right. We were in the process of taking any objections to the application. I will ask that one more time, both in the room or on Zoom. I haven't seen anyone. Any objections to this application? Commissioner Mitchell.
Close public comment. I move we close public comment.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second to close public comment. Okay, we are now in the deliberation phase, and I don't think there's much deliberation.
What's the question?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Sorry. I got ahead of myself again. Yeah, I think this is a fairly straightforward application, and what's the pleasure of the board?
Let me get to my sheet. I move that we direct planning or direct staff to produce a resolution approving the 10.32 acre property identified as parcel number 90981 and the 4.81 acre property identified as parcel number 90982 as an approved subdivision for this hearing.
So we would direct staff to make a resolution approving that?
Yes.
Just to help.
Approving this subdivision.
And we will consider that at a date yet certain.
I'd say without conditions. I mean, I don't think there's any real condition we need to be concerned with.
I don't disagree.
I'll second that just for comments.
Okay, so it's on the table in front of us. Really, I think, you know, when you take a look at the totality of this, you have the London claim known as the Jim Dandy, but also the mill site. And they're simply making adjustments to the lot line so that the two parties, which are trying to both utilize these parcels at the same time, has their own ownership and boundary established. Yes, it is a mini subdivision, but it's just to clean up an existing business relationship and make it better for now and into the future.
And I think it also aligns with roads. And so it just makes sense based on the whole layout of this. And so I don't see that there's any challenge with this at all.
And I'm just going to make a quick statement. I really appreciate Mr. Evans making the statement that he did. That was a question that did not come up to my mind until it was brought present. I appreciate that effort. I really think that that is something for us to look at in the future when, in similar cases, the benefits that or what it may outweigh on those. But I don't see where that's pertinent in this specific location.
Do you want to put a condition?
No, I don't think it's necessary on this piece. I believe that the Planning Commission recommendation is appropriate.
Right, especially since it's wetlands. I do not think it is common practice for a mining claim to be granted in wetlands because water is gold. Water is actually more valuable than gold. And so, especially this year, it's like unobtainium at this moment.
Although they are getting close.
So I do not see any concern whatsoever.
Okay, we'll call the question. Those in favor of what we're saying, aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Okay. Next up, number 3 on our agenda, we have a Planning Commission land use case, Common Plat Amendment, case number 825-0112. These properties are parcel numbers 2622, 3806, and 2380, identified as lots 41 through 43 in the Jefferson Heights subdivision. The applicants are requesting a common plat amendment to split parcel 3806 between parcels 2622 and 2380. This would create new lot parcel 41A. That will get 1.91 of the parcel 3806 and new lot 43, formerly parcel 2 or at parcel 2380, and will get 1.67 acres of land. The applicant is Gary and Jolene Neff and Edwin and Tamara Hedlund. Shelley, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. Like Commissioner Whistle just said, this is a common plat amendment, case number A25-0112. Mr. and Mrs. Neff are in the audience today. The parcels are identified as lots new 41, lots 42, and lot 43 of the Jefferson Heights subdivision. They're addressed as 1133 Boreas Circle, 1145 Boreas Circle, and 1197 Boreas Circle. The applicants would like to split current lot 42 in between new lot 41 and lot 43. This will dissolve lot 42 and give lot 41A 1.91 acres of lot 42 and Lot 43 will receive 1.67 acres of Lot 42. Everything is zoned residential around it. The vicinity map. This is the aerial site. This is the old configuration. Lot 43 at the top, Lot 42 in the middle, and Lot 41 down at the bottom. And this is the proposed new configuration, eliminating all the lot lines and splitting Lot 42. It was mailed, notice was given and mailed to adjacent property owners on the 5th of January. It was published in the Flume on the 9th of January and then posted at the site on the 8th of January. Okay, the LUR standards of approval are as follows. A, the common plat amendment amends a county approved and recorded minor plat, final plat, or exemption plat. The final subdivision plat for Jefferson Heights was approved by the BOCC and recorded in Park County on July 9, 1970 at reception number 181452. And the lot consolidation for the new Lot 41 was approved and recorded on February 2, 2023 at reception number 799418. The common plat amendment, as approved, either conforms to applicable zoning or other standards or does not increase any nonconformity. This common plat amendment conforms to all applicable zoning and other land use regulation standards. The common plat amendment, as approved, meets or satisfies all requirements of the land use regulations. The plat amendment application is complete and meets the requirements. The common plat amendment, as approved, substantially conforms to the goals and policies of the strategic master plan. The common plat amendment does meet the requirements of the land use regulations and is not contradictory to any goals or policies in the 2016 strategic master plan. And the last, the proposed amendment would not cause significant hardship or inconvenience to adjacent or neighboring landowners. This amendment will not cause any hardship or inconvenience. We are simply requesting, or they are simply requesting to divide that lot. The proposed amendment does not create or result in an illogical or inefficient lot layout or subdivision. I got ahead of myself. This amendment is simply a request to dissolve one parcel and use the acreage of that parcel to enlarge the two neighboring parcels. No illogical layout or inefficiency is being created. The Planning Commission reviewed this application at their January 28, 2026 meeting and voted to recommend approval of the Common Plat Amendment, case A250112, unanimously 5-0 with no conditions. Their executive summary is as follows. This application was straightforward and well presented. The motion was made to recommend approval with no additional conditions, 5-0. That's it for Shelley.
Questions for Shelley. I'm just going to do a little housekeeping measures. We're going to follow the same process as we did with this hearing, as we did the one before and the one we will do after. So we have staff go first. If the applicants are in the room, and we know they are, please join us and give us any comments if you wish. You don't have to, but you're welcome to, and then we will hear from you.
Hi, I'm Jolene, my husband Gary Neff.
Welcome.
Thank you. In 2009, we purchased our original property and home, and we've been weekenders since then, and pretty much every weekend. And then in 2012, we built a new matrimonial deck and got married on our property. So, and then in 2020, we moved up here permanently. Partially due to COVID, and my husband's a heart transplant recipient, and so we moved up here full-time to keep him safe from that, and would never move back now. we have always enjoyed having that property next to us. The neighbors that owned it were they came up like once a year to move dead trees. And when we got married in 2012, we called them and asked them if it was okay if we mowed the top part of that property to park cars or pitch tents, because we had a weekend wedding, open house. And his response to us collecting dead wood or mowing or whatever was, do whatever you want to, sweetie. So we kind of got used to, you know, having it there and thinking of it as ours. Well, unfortunately, both of those elderly neighbors passed away in January of this year. And so the son, I guess, sold it to a land purchasing company, and who hired the local Jefferson Realty to sell it. And the day that the sign went up, we started the process of bidding on it and purchasing it. And the whole time that we've lived up there, you know, we enjoy our neighbors. And so Tammy and Edwin, he doesn't go by that, he goes by John, said, we've always said, hey, if we can buy that property, let's split it. And so that's what we intended to do, and that's what this purpose is for, is to split it so they get a little extra and we get a little extra, and we both protect our views and our privacy. And so there's no building going to happen. It's just basically to protect our views and protect our privacy. And that's pretty much it.
Pretty clear.
Perfect.
Thank you, Julian.
I do have a question for you, if you don't mind me. If it's question time?
It is.
This is pertaining to the split parcel lot 3806. Are there any features on that lot, such as minor improvements, major improvements, well, sheds, outbuildings, anything of that nature?
On the lot
that is intended to be split.
On lot 42? No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading it off of here, which is the parcel 3806. Yeah. So.
Right. Now, lot 42 is completely vacant. It does have some power poles, and we dealt with CORE to get permission to leave those in place, and there was no other problems with that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, great. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I also have one other kind of a concern.
Okay.
So we've been dealing with Shelley with this whole thing, and then when we got down to this process and the public hearing, we started getting some emails from somebody who, it's called Park County Planning Commission at USA.com, and asking for money, invoices. And it has the same logos as Park County, Colorado. And they have been asking for, one of them is for $3,800, one of them is for $4,000, one of them is for $10,000.
Wow.
Answer to this email and get the wiring instructions and wiring.
Ah,
I can address that. That is a very bad person spamming, doing illegal. Yes.
And she says, no, it's a spoof email.
Yes.
And I just thought it was concerning because it has all the information, all the pertinent lot numbers and all of that stuff. And so I printed them off, and I'm not sure who to give it to. I thought about maybe the sheriff, because it seems like fraud to me.
Our IT department is very aware and have been working on additional security and are very aware of this. But thank you for bringing these to our attention. You know, it's bad people.
Yeah, I know, and they're all around.
And they're everywhere.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I thought I'd bring it to somebody's attention that somebody's out there trying to spoof people like us that are trying to just consolidate.
Thank you, Jolene.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, now we're at the point of anyone who would like to speak in favor of this application. Anyone on Zoom or in the room that would like to speak in favor of the application? We'll switch gears, and those in the room or on Zoom who would be in opposition to this application. Anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this application? I see none.
I move we close public comment.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
Proper second. Close public comment. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. What's the pleasure of the board?
I'll just go right out of the chute. I move that we direct staff to draft a resolution approving common plat amendment to turn lots 41, 42, and 43 into two lots, which are new lots 41 and 43.
Proper motion.
I'll second that.
Proper
no conditions.
No conditions.
Conditions, yes.
Yes, that's just to be clear. Further discussion.
It meets our goals of larger lots are better. We would not begrudge anybody, I wouldn't, to maintain their view, have a little bit more space, and to continue to live and enjoy Park County. I mean, it's that simple.
I'd just say it's an example of the free enterprise system at work.
Exactly. Yes.
Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you. Okay, number 4 on our agenda. Planning Commission use case conditional use permit A25-0117. This is mineral survey number 19156 in Township 12, Range 72, Section 9, Southwest Quarter, addressed as 32634 Highway 24, Lake George, Colorado 80827. The 10.3-acre mining claim is located approximately 0.75 miles southwest of the junction between County Road 31 and U.S. Highway 24. Adding a 20-foot by 19-foot walk-in closet to existing single-family house, the applicant is Kathy Ivanoff. And with that, we have staff. We will follow the same process that we did before. We will have staff make a presentation. We will have questions from them. We will then go into anyone in favor of the application. We will ask for those in opposition. We will then close public comment, deliberate, and make a decision. So with that, we will allow staff to, when they're organized, get started. Welcome.
I am just waiting for that to load.
Not a problem. Hey, welcome. Had to get the right paperwork out.
I don't know why it is not loading. I think I am going to hold on. I'm going to kick Shelley out of the meeting, and that might make disconnect. I think her sharing is somehow interfering, even though
I remember.
Huh?
Not permanently.
No, she can rejoin, but just because I think she may still be. Connected somehow. We've had this happen before where we've had photos stay up from somebody who has been in the meeting and left. So I don't know. I can see it on my screen, and I think you can't. Sorry, Kay, I don't know. There we go. Now try again.
Come back in. Just doesn't like it.
It's a Zoom gremlin. They visit once in a while. It's really annoying.
So a neighbor.
Oh, I'm having a notification here saying your shared screen can be seen only by host and co-hosts.
Yeah, let me. Oh, I hate. All these settings are to restrict. More bad people Zoom bombers. I will remove the focus and see if that will solve the problem. Just know if I cut the meeting quick, it's because somebody is being bad. And let's see if this does it.
I would recommend you put the focus on my presentation or my window.
So hold on.
There we go.
Okay. There we go. Bingo.
All right. Thank you. My name is Kay Wolf. I'm a planner for Park County, and I am here to present Kathy Ivanov's application, case number A25-0117, for a parcel addressed as 32634 Highway 24, Lake George. Here's the vicinity and zoning map. And the request is to amend the CUP on the 10.3-acre parcel in a mining zone to add a 20-foot by 19-foot walk-in closet to the existing single-family house. Here is a site plan with a proposal. The highlighted area is the proposed addition. Here is more detailed plan and a side view of that. So here's a site photo. It's off to the side of that the extension is going to be built. Notice was published on the Flume on January 9th. Referrals were emailed on January 12th. Immediate neighbors were mailed on January 8th, and the property sign was posted on January 13th. For referrals responses, Abe had no wildlife or environmental concerns, and the USFS replied, based on our preliminary review of the request regarding the addition of a walk-in closet, the Forest Service does not have any concerns. For standards of approval, the use proposed is an authorized conditional use for the zone district in which the property described in the application is located. So the proposal is a minor amendment to an existing and approved CUP for residents in a mining district to expand the footprint of the approved house. A second standard, the property described in the application for conditional use permit possesses geological, physical, and other environmental conditions that are compatible with the proposed conditional use. The property is currently used as residential, and the amendment only slightly changes the footprint. A third standard, the conditional use will conform to all applicable requirements of the zone district and these land use regulations and does not create a substantial safety concern for anticipated visitors to the property. There are no safety concerns that are anticipated as the property is already used as residential. And I combine the next two standards as they are somewhat similar. The property has a reasonably certain length or certain right of permanent legal access permitting vehicular access from the property to the public thoroughfare. And access to the property from the public thoroughfare reasonably meets county street, road, or driveway standards, or if the property is undeveloped, such access will be established prior to issuance of a building permit. And both of those are met as the Forest Service Road 861.B crosses through the property from Highway 24. Next standard of approval, the proposed conditional use is compatible with the uses and zoning for other properties within the neighborhood or immediately surrounding the area. The adjacent properties are zoned mining or conservation recreation and are either vacant or residential, both of which are compatible with the proposal. The next standard of approval, in making this determination, conflicts with any enforceable covenants, conditions, and restrictions of record will be considered. The only conditions are in the current CUP that the applicant is seeking to amend. For impact analysis, minimal impacts are anticipated. The Planning Commission recommendation was approval with no conditions. Are there any questions?
Questions for Kay?
No questions for me.
No questions.
No, I have a couple questions for you. This is a patented mining claim?
Sorry?
The subject is a patented mining claim?
Correct.
So it's 10.33 acres?
10.3 acres, I rounded. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah.
Generally 300 feet at the width and 1,500 feet long, and that equals 10.33. And Park County, traditionally patented claims, load claims, are 10.33.
Okay.
Typically, mill sites are 5. Just edification. Okay. So if they're on the 10.33, and what I saw on the map is it's contained within the boundaries of the mining claim, then there's no external disturbance. There's no mess to the neighbors because I'm guessing the Forest Service is the neighbor.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's pretty simple. Since it's a conditional use, and it had to have a conditional use to make a residence on a mining-zoned property, Therefore, to amend the conditional use has to go through back through the conditional use process to amend, even though it's one unit. Just to clarify that.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions of Kay?
No, none.
Okay, thank you.
All right. The applicant in the room, want to make any? Come on up. Please join us. Welcome. Nice to meet you and know someone who lives behind the stop sign off County Road 24.
Yep. Hi, my name's Tim. I'm representing Kathy and Chris Ivanoff. I want to thank everybody in this room for helping us get to this point, especially you. Thank you for all you do for us. Also, this started over a year and a half ago. A guy came to Mom when Mom happened to come up to visit, and she called him in, talked to him. Took a $52,000 check from her and ran off with the money. He was supposed to be coming here to do all this. Never did nothing. Gone. And other than that, what the two people just told you right there, 2 weeks ago they tried to get $7,000 with your letterhead.
Yeah.
And she called in, and y'all took care of it. Y'all was like, don't do it. 2 days ago, they tried to get $3,800 for another thing. And it's all official, and she's terrified. And she's been wanting to move here, y'all, for 10 years. But this is the last step. She's fixing to retire. She cuts hair. And it was a long time to get to here. It really was. But anything you can do to stop some of that?
Yeah, well, we appreciate we're aware.
No
first
idea.
Of all, knowledge is...
Yeah, because it looks official.
Oh, yeah. It's got our logo on it.
Yeah, it's sort of been... They've went through the ringer, but they want to become... Coloradans, they come 3 or 4 times a year. Mom is just waiting on getting this closet built so she can move all her clothes from the rooms down in Louisiana to here.
Has to have a place
to
move.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Tim, to let you know, those documents have been put in the hands of our paralegal, who is part of our attorney office, and so they will look at it accordingly as well.
So we were not able to get the sheriff here, the detective that came out. This guy not only did it to us, but he did it to a couple people in Teller County. Well, they tried to make some kind of thing through Teller County. I was like, Mom, it happened in Barr County. And for some reason, they haven't got the DA here to prosecute. I mean, we got the return check. There was people in there, and he basically put the thumb on her and said, look, I'm not coming back out here no more. If you want this, I need a check right now.
Yeah.
And she's an elderly. Yeah. She did whatever.
She was
never
strong
did a thing.
Yeah.
And we can't get nobody in Park County to pick it up.
Well, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information.
Yep.
Thank you.
Lucas?
Yeah. I'll make sure that I get you my number. We'll follow up with you. There's a...
Because that was their savings to retire, you know.
Right. This is an ongoing thing, and it is something that we're aware of, and now we're starting to get some documentation trails. So
he had excuses.
We're talking about the phishing, the internet phishing, not the crook, whoever stole her money to build this addition.
It is the builder, and he was good for Park County and all that, and then it was all lies.
So, and I appreciate the comments. I really understand the situation. I think we definitely need to get your number and talk to you after this, or talk to you directly after
Thank
this.
You.
But let's continue on with the case in hand. If we don't.
And
also, point of privilege, can we get your last name for the record?
My last name is Radloff, Timothy Radloff.
That's just so we can keep the record correct. Thanks, Commissioner Gimmer.
This is Kay again. Just a technical note, you might want to put spotlight back on to the OCC.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we don't want to get inconsiderately bombed.
Thank you, Kay.
Okay, I appreciate for that. Anything else you want to add?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that information because we feel bad for the circumstances surrounding it, and Lucas will get you his contact info. So with that, are there anyone in the audience or on Zoom who would like to speak in favor of the application? Is there anyone in the room or on Zoom who would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, no hands. Now we're to the point in the room or on Zoom. Does anyone want to speak in opposition to this application? Is there anyone in the room or on Zoom who wants to speak in opposition to this application? I see none.
I move to close
public comment.
I'll second that.
Okay, we'll move and close in record speed. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. What's the pleasure of the board?
I move that we direct staff to draft a resolution approving the conditional use permit case A25-0117 to add a 20-by-19-foot walk-in closet to 32634 Highway 24 Lake George.
With no conditions?
With no conditions.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. Any further discussion?
Yes. I would never get between Kathy and her needed closet. I totally get it.
I can visualize that closet too. I can see it. That's a
critical
heritage piece. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Okay. Number five, we have scheduled in front of us land use case 250118. And this has been requested to be continued to the April 21st, 2026 Board of Commissioners by the applicant.
Yeah, I move that we continue the planning, the land use case, rezoning A25-0118 to April 21, 2026, date certain.
Proper motion.
I'll second that.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0 to continue on to date certain. We are to public comments, I think, is the last thing.
Mr. Chair, we have a hand up on Zoom. Stan, okay. I will ask you to unmute.
Welcome, Stan. You have 3 minutes for public comment to give us your thoughts and your concerns.
I'll again ask you to unmute. How about Stan or Susie? I'll ask you to unmute.
I have a hand and I have muted, but I don't see.
Not unmuting. One more time. I'll ask you, Stan or Susie, to. There you go.
There we go. Welcome.
Hey, my lucky day. I apologize about that.
No, it's okay. You're with us now.
Great. My name is Stan Bates. I represent the Juan Crest Estates HOA. And I'd like to bring up an issue that's of grave concern to our neighborhood and this part of the community for fire. So right now, as we all know, we have not had any moisture, and it's been a dry summer. And we have to the west of our HOA, we have a slash pile that is 250 feet long, 30 feet high as far as we can tell, and 20 feet deep. A slash pile is normally used to burn away waste, and that not waste, but basically the forestry wood, and this is beyond measure. So this is so dangerous to us with the possible burning that we are approaching a season that we really shouldn't be living in our houses. So we really need the county to act. And that's on the property, actually, that was on the last item of the agenda. That property, as you know, has been misused. It was ag property, and it was used for the heavy industrial. So we still have the trucks that are on there. We have diesel. We have all that next to that slash pile. And according to what I've read is, you know, slash pile should only be 8 foot by 8 foot by 8 foot tall. So it's way too big to even burn. So I don't know what the process is of getting rid of all that slash, but can you imagine having a 250 foot long slash pile just 500 feet from your properties? I mean, we have 8 houses that are sitting basically right next to this tinderbox. So we've called Elk Creek Fire, and Elk Creek Fire has said that we're not in their jurisdiction. We called Platte Canyon Fire, and they said that we're not in their jurisdiction. We implored the sheriff, and the sheriff told us on the 29th of January that he was not responsible, and he was not responsible to enforce the fire code. So we're calling on the county to act. We are in grave danger if this goes up like a torch. This is not something we want to see in our community. So please, we implore you to act. Do something about this slash pile, as well as turn this ag land back into residential so we can stop this whole debacle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bates. Appreciate your comments.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I think Susie wanted to speak, so I will ask you to unmute again.
Welcome, Susie. We have a hand up still.
I'll ask you to unmute. There we go.
Here we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. These little technical difficulties. Thank you. I'm Susie Bates, and I'm also part of the HOA and representing for Park County Neighborhood Alliance. Following up what Stan just spoke about the concerns for this slash pile, there's more than one. The one that we are speaking of is just below one house by 50 feet. There are several upon the upper parcel and the lower 184 acres. About 2 weeks ago, ASCAG had proposed that he wants to get the 58 acres rezoned to the Planning Commission. And it was asked by those people that has he allowed the county officials to come up on the land. He hesitated, and then he said no. So from what we understand recently, and it's been ongoing for quite some time, as you all know, ASCAG is not letting you guys go up there. And in your LURs, section 2-202, letter C, you have the ability to have site inspections by emergency entry. And so I implore you to utilize your LURs and your authority in the proper way, because you have an oath that you took to protect the welfare, health, and safety of your community of Park County. This is such a dense area, as you all know, right next to Jeffco and Park County and Bailey, that if that tinderbox would go up, and mind you, from what we can see, there's a big container with diesel that he's probably using as a generator to also, he has other equipment up there that's dewatering looking again, and you have a moratorium that you put on that. So there is extreme concerns of what else is happening, what is being discharged up on that land. And we need to have site inspections. So please utilize, we implore you to utilize your emergency ability to get up there and do soil testings and look around, take your pictures, utilize your state statutory, your EPA, your CDPH. Again, we've asked even for CORA requests of what site inspections have been done so far in this 3-year debacle. And we're not getting the site, not getting the CORA respect. CORA requests granted and sent back. And the public is imploring you and asking. So the silence is deafening to us. And we, the people, are hugely concerned. I've had some person just recently tell me they don't even want their kids to come home from college. They live so near this, and they're frightened because they might not wake up at night if they are gone. Can you imagine if you had children at home and this happened. We do not want a Maui fire up here in Park County in this beautiful area.
Susie, I hate to interrupt you, but your 3 minutes are up. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm representing longer, but you get the point, please. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone in the room? See none.
I move we close public comment.
I'll second it.
Proper motion and second to close public comment. We see none. We hear none. So with that, call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Move to adjourn.
Move we adjourn.
Second it.
Proper motion and second. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 2:24 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
And I don't think we have any administrative session.
I'm not aware of any administrative sessions. We had some discussions earlier this morning when we got the financial and we went through some things. So, yeah.